the Ensemble Soleil live today, right here at 89.7 FM. Well, we had two pieces by Diego Ortiz. I only mentioned one. The second one was Rechazada, or Rechazada Segunda by Ortiz. And then we heard before that the Divisions. And firstly, a piece by Jacques Arcadel called Madrigal O Felici Okimichi. I love that one. The name, anyway. And the Ensemble Soleil performing today live. We heard a number of viol soloists, and we have viols here today of all sizes, ranging from the size of a small violin to the size of the size of a cello. The Ensemble Soleil specializing in the music of viols today, anyway. And we also heard the harpsichord in that particular set. And as I've mentioned that we have all these different sizes of viols among us today, I should also mention that we have amongst us a master viol builder in the person of Mr. Peter Turin. Some of these viols today you built yourself.
Yeah, I built the one that I'm playing, the one that Rosalind is playing, and the one that Gene Twombly's playing.
It's confusing to me. A viol can be just about anything, from the tiniest instrument to a very big one. What do you model these on? They must be original models that you use?
Yeah.
You don't just make up what size you're going to build today.
That's a big question.
Well,
in general, there are three sizes. There's a treble, which is more or less violin size. There's tenor, and there's bass. Bass is an octave below the treble, and it's more or less cello size. That's the general rule, but the instruments didn't standardize like the violin family did. You know, very early on in the violin making, the violin got a shape which worked well acoustically and kept it. Cellos more or less kept their shape. They sort of shrunk over the centuries, but they were pretty much established in general shape. Viols didn't, for several reasons. I think part of the reason is acoustic, that especially the trebles and tenors weren't as acoustically successful as the violin was, so there was experimentation. But the other thing is that they were developed not for professional players doing music for pay, but they were developed for amateur players of the rich merchant classes, the court circles and court hangers-on. So there were people of a moneyed class who were playing them on an amateur basis. That left a lot of room for variety in style, decoration, and so on. These particular instruments happen to be on English models. It's odd since we're playing French and Italian, but we did a bunch of research a number of years ago on early viols, and there was a tremendous amount of viol playing in England, so there was a lot of impetus to research English models and try to figure out what would they have been playing from about 1580 up through the 1600s, and these are the results of those research efforts.
Now, as I understand it, a lot of music from this far back frequently doesn't have any indication of what instruments were intended. How do you determine that the viol is appropriate, or was it so ubiquitous that it's appropriate in any case?
Well, Ortiz wrote a book on divisions. It was a training book to show you how to play divisions, and it was specifically meant for the viol. He talked about viols and their tunings and their sizes. So in that case, it's rather clear that that something of this nature is the instrument intended. There were also other Italian writers at the time who were doing this. Ganassi is one of them. He wrote a division training book for recorder players and also for viols. So the thing that's interesting about this Spanish part of this concert in general to me is that it harks back rather than forward. It's not polyphonic music as in the Italian Renaissance, but it's more dance music. It's more chordally structured. It has this style of playing divisions, you know, essentially improvising over a set theme, which goes back a century rather than looking forward. And that was part of the intrigue of doing the Spanish part of this concert.
And great stuff. Gorgeous, and a lot of material from that period. The Ensemble Soleil is giving three concerts, and I'll list those after we talk to the other Peter here. We have two Peters on hand. Peter Turin, who I've been speaking to, and Peter Lehmann, who is the lutenist and will have the stage for the next set of lute solos, all by one individual. Peter, tell us about that individual and a little bit about these pieces.
Mm-hmm. It's Luis de Narvaez, who is a Spanish fiuelist. The pieces that I'm playing, the first and the last, are actually songs with text that go along with it. The instrument plays the top part as well, so I'm not missing anything. The first one is La Bella Malmarida, or the beautiful woman who made a bad marriage. you can make of that what you'd like.
You're not doing translations?
No, I'll leave it at that. The second piece is a Diferencias, or variations, three variations on a theme. And the last one I find very unusual. The text is a lament on the fall of Granada, which was the capital of the Moorish Empire. But told, since it's a lament, not from the Spanish side, who were the victors, but from the side of the vanquished, and how sorry they were that this great cosmopolitan city was lost.
Interesting. Well, maybe you should recite the text while you play.
Right.
Peter Lehmann is a lutenist with the group, and he'll play these three pieces all on his own. And let me mention now the concerts, three of them this week. One of them is tonight in Weston at St. Peter's Church, 320 Boston Post Road in Weston, which is very conveniently located adjacent to the intersections of Route 128 and the Mass Pike. Tomorrow night at Pilgrim Church in North Weymouth, 24 Athens Street there. And on Thursday at Lindsay Chapel here in Boston at Emmanuel Church, 15 Newbury Street. These concerts all at 8 o'clock, and here's a phone number, 617-625-1898. And now Peter Lehmann playing the music of Luis de Narvaez.
Thank you.
Lute music by Luis de Narvaez, as played today by one of the members of the Ensemble Soleil, Peter Lehmann, playing the lute. And as we mentioned, Narvaez, a master lutenist, and that volume of pieces published in 1538. The Ensemble Soleil here today live on Classical Performances at 89.7 FM WGBH. In Boston, and a delightful opportunity to get to meet and hear a relatively new ensemble among us, Ensemble Soleil, which brings to mind Le Roi Soleil, the Sun King, although he rose and shed his light on the world somewhat later than the music we're hearing today. Is he nonetheless the inspiration for the name you've chosen?
He surely is. We were looking for something which would combine the violin and the viol, because we have I play violin as well. And those two instruments, the treble viol particularly, and the bass, the seven-string bass viol, rose to their highest point of development in France. And this was really the swan song for the viol. Mm. And so it's kind of our end point, and we've gone back to our roots. Our first concert actually worked in that direction. We played something by François Couperin, the L'Apotheose de Corelli, with two violins. Mm. And we also played a number of earlier pieces. But at that point, then, the viol began not to be heard further, and the violins really took the stage and began their great development, which led to the modern orchestra scene.
Where does the viola da gamba fit in here? It's sort of midway between what we call viols and modern instruments, or is it the same?
Well, the same. What actually happened was around 1500 in Italy, with the development of polyphonic music in parts, in different voices, the Italian composers and makers started to think, what are we going to do for instruments that will play polyphony and in voices? What will we do for different sized instruments? They built violin family instruments, violin, viola, tenor, which you don't see anymore, and cello, and they built viola da gamba. You know, viola da gamba being a generic term, meaning viols played between the legs. The violin would be a viola da braccia. It would be a neck viol, a shoulder viol, as opposed to a viola da gamba. Mm-hmm. But both
the
families developed in Italy
at the same time.
And the Italians were hot on viols for a while, about a century, and then lost interest. They were very preoccupied with violins and violin music. But meanwhile, the viola da gamba family headed everywhere else in Europe and really flourished for three centuries.
So you have a number of centuries and a lot of nationalities to knock about in.
There's enough music to keep you busy.
Programming here. And this program is basically music of Spain and Italy in the late 16th and early 17th century. And next, we're going to hear an assortment of pieces, I guess I'll say, a set including one piece. Now, in this business, you come across names of many, many, many composers, some of them famous, some of them obscure, and for the most part, I am familiar with all the names on this program, with the exception of the composer of this next piece, Venejas de Genestrosa. We'll talk about that after we hear this canción. And then Giovanni Bassano in Italian, and another set of divisions or improvisations, an early form of variations on a bass. And the great master Antonio de Cabezon, La Dama le Demanda. We'll hear more about what that's all about after we hear this set of pieces with viols and harpsichord played by the Ensemble Soleil.
Thank you. Thank you.
a lovely sound made there by four viols altogether. And what an entirely different sound a quartet of viols makes than what we call a string quartet today, that's for sure. Beautiful, rich sound. And that last piece was by Antonio de Cabezon, a great Spanish master of the 16th century. La Dame le demanda, which means...
Something like she was asking for trouble.
She was making demands, huh?